Well, we were talking about the meaning of salvation. We're analyzing this matter of our salvation. And we say, you don't have to know all of these things that we're studying here in order to get saved. Thank the Lord. And because there's a lot here. But after you come to know the Lord, when you go back and you look at salvation and you look at our lostness is what we're looking at right now, how lost that we really were before we came to know the Lord, man alive. Salvation, we said, implies that someone or something needs to be saved, and we surely fit the category, didn't we? Every one of us. We know our life before Jesus got us, and we were looking at the matter of why are men lost. And we said that all of mankind are lost because they've sinned in Adam. And we know that's the biblical answer, according to Romans 5:12. But we also want to take a look at some other things the Scripture says, and that's that all men are lost because they are totally depraved. And we're not talking about totally depraved in the same matter as the those that hold to the 5 points of Calvinism would talk about, but I do want you to understand that sin dominates every part of man's being. So where we're at here in the outline is there in, we're under A, salvation implies someone or something needs to be saved, and we were just finishing up number 3 under B, under the little small letter B there. All of mankind are lost because they're totally depraved. And we had looked at the unsaved man only has power to sin. And we're going to pick up this morning in number 4 there. And that's this. The unsaved world lies in wickedness. It lies in wickedness. And that's what 1 John 5 in verse number 19 tells us. Says we know that we are of God. Thank the Lord. I hope that you know that you're of God today, that you know that you're saved and you're a child of God. And that's the only way to be a child of God is to be saved. Not everybody's a child of God. We know that we're a child of God, but we also know that as we look at this world, the whole world lies in wickedness, doesn't it? I mean, you go, wherever you go, I don't know how much traveling that you've done. I've not been a worldwide traveler, but I hear from those who have. I've been out of the country just a couple of times. I've been down the Panama Canal Zone and saw the depravity of man down there when I was 17 years of age. Flew down there, and things were bad there. Wherever I went, sin manifested itself. I've also been up into Canada a little bit, just over the edge there. My wife and I went Niagara Falls, and when we came back from Niagara Falls, we traveled through the lower part of Canada there to come back home. God, could I tell you what we saw? We saw that the world is full of sinners. They are. And the unsaved world, as we look at it, it does lie in wickedness. No matter where you go, you're going to find that to be a truth, and it's a truth of Scripture. How about turn to Romans chapter number 1. I'm not going to have you turn to the other passages here, but we want to take a look here at this matter of the unsaved world lies and wickedness. And we see that they reject God's revelation of Himself. Aren't you thankful that God chose to reveal Himself to mankind? And He does that in several different ways. And we know that the Bible says in Psalm 19, verse number 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. We can take a look at around us, and if the Lord opens eyes to it, there's so many people that are blind to the reality of the magnificence of the world that we live in, and then they want to say, well, this just all just happened. No, that heavens declare, it shows that there's a God. It declares the glory of God. Acts 14, verse number 17, Paul told the folks there, he said, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, talking of God, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So God left himself with a witness. And that witness is His mighty creation that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself spoke into existence. Look at Romans 1 and verse number 19. Let's back up to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, the truth has been manifested to them, and they live their life in unrighteousness. Look at verse 19. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. He's talking about the conscience of man. God's put a God consciousness within us. Verse number 20, for the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They're without excuse because the Lord has revealed Himself in truth to them, in conscience and also in His creation, and they reject full on that manifestation of God to mankind. And how sad it is when we see that man fails to give glory to God for that which is obviously from Him. We see, as we talk about the conscience, they disobey their own conscience that the Lord has given to them. Look at Romans 2 there. Romans 2, verse number 14. Let's back up to verse number 12 and start there. It says, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. He's talking to the Jews here who would want to argue, well, you know, we're not as bad as those Gentiles. We got the law. You know, the Lord gave us the law. And he says, as many have sinned without law shall also perish without the law. He's talking about the Gentiles. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. He says, don't think that you're getting off. The law condemns you. You got the law, maybe. I've given you the law, and the law shows you that you're a sinner, and that you need something that you can't save yourself. Verse 13, look what it says. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Well, who can do the law? Nobody. Well, how's a man saved? Well, Jesus Christ did the law. He fulfilled the righteousness of the law for us. We believe on Him, and His righteousness is applied to our account. Our sin is applied to Him. His righteousness is applied to us. Look at verse 14. He says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. He said, you know, the Gentiles don't get off the hook just because they don't have the law. There is a law. I mean, they didn't have the law of Moses, saying, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. But there is that inward conscience. God puts a consciousness in man that there are certain things that are wrong. And I know people sin against their conscience. They know something's wrong, and they go ahead and do it anyway. And that's what he's speaking of here. And he says in verse number 15, we show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. They do have a law. We all have a law. And the whole world shows its lies in wickedness by rejecting the law and disobeying the law that's been given to them, whether as a Jew it's the law of Moses or whether it be the law of our conscience. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And we see that when we're talking about the unsaved world lies in wickedness, want us to see here that they walk in the ways of this world. The ways of this world. If the world lies in wickedness, what is the way of the world? It's wickedness. And when we were lost, that's the way we walked. We walked according to the world. And that's what he mentions here in Ephesians 2. Look at verse number 1. and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You know, Christ made us alive. Praise God. We're alive. But think about the time past. Think about your time before you were made alive in Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Look at verse number 2, and it gives a definition of what that means. What does it mean to be dead in trespasses and sin? And he gives us an insight here. Where in a time past you walked according to the course of this world. What's the course of this world? It's the course that Satan's laid out. It's the course of wickedness, of ungodliness. He says, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, or in other words, our behavior was in that. And when we had our conversation in times past, and in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, the problem goes back to that nature, that Adamic nature that we were born with. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, and they were plunged into that darkness, the darkness of sin. They brought that about not only for themselves but for us who are in Adam. James chapter number 4, in verse number 4, says this. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And that whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, all that the world stands for is at enmity. It's at odds, we could say, with the Lord. It's contrary to the Lord. And we know that that's one of the reasons why, you know, we saw in our study there in 1 John on Sunday evenings, 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17, it tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we clearly see that, don't we? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, that's all that this world is about. When you take a look, you could point one of those three or all three in certain things that you see day by day as you're out in the world. And it's the way of the world. And so we know the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What's the will of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him change your life. Amen. He changes your heart and life. He gives you a new life in him. And then he begins to mend your walk. Your walk is not to be as it was before. Your walk is to be in the Lord. We're to walk in the Lord's light and in the Lord's love. We see, look at John chapter number 8. The world is... we're talking about the unregenerate world now, those that are not saved. They are children of Satan, and they're under his power. And we see in John 8, verse number 42. That's where we want to be at. It's John 8, verse number 42. And Jesus is speaking here to a group of Jews that were boasting in Abraham. And Jesus is saying, hey, if you were really Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. And he's talking about you were the children of faith like Abraham. Now, they may have been physical descendants of Abraham, because all Jews are. But he was talking about Abraham's faith. Amen. And you can read this section. That's context of what he's speaking about here. And they wanted to argue with him when he said, Abraham's not really your father. Verse number 44, he says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the Father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. So we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to get them to see that in their natural condition, they were blessed to be born of Abraham, born in the line of Abraham, but they needed to be born again in that faith of Abraham, the same faith that Abraham believed God and God accounted it to him for righteousness. He was saved by grace through faith. Abraham was saved the same way that you and I are saved. Yeah, salvation has always been by grace through faith. And he was saying, you know, look, you know, being born physically as a child of Abraham doesn't mean anything. What you need to do is you need to be you need to have some spiritual life in you. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. We're talking about the folks in this world. We're talking about the world, the unregenerate world. And they are children of Satan, and they're under his power. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds." Who's the God of this world? It's Satan. Talking about the one who is controlling the world system, or at least he can only control it as far as God will allow him to. But when you take a look at the world system, you take a look at the ungodliness and unrighteousness that's going on, who's behind all of that? Well, the God of this world, and it is Satan. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So they're blinded. And thank God for the light that was given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit taking and pricking our hearts, and us being able to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. He shined the light in our heart, and we believed on the Lord. Look at Colossians 1 and verse number 13. Colossians 1:13. He says, let's back up to verse number 10. He's praying for these Colossian Christians. He said, "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." Well, how can a person walk worthy of the Lord? Well, they first of all got to be born again. And "that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." I mean, just realize all that God's done for you. And here's verse 13. This is where we want to be at. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." You could say we translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen? Because Jesus is the light. In whom we have redemption, there in verse number 14. "Whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." What a blessing it is to no longer be a child of Satan, but to be a child of God. Not to have to be under His power, but to be under the power, having the power of the Holy Spirit living within. John 3:10, I'm not going to have you turn there, I'm going to quote this one to you, but it says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So, you know, when we look around, we know that by and large the world is without God because of, you can just look at what they produce in their life, and it's unrighteousness. If you're unrighteous, if you're all practicing unrighteousness, then you're not of God. And, of course, 1 John 5 in verse number 19, we saw there that what we're talking about, we know that we are of God and that this whole world lies in wickedness. We see also, look at Genesis 8:21. Yeah, look at Genesis 8:21. And think back to the time of Noah. We're in looking here that they are lost because of their relationship to sin. Man's relationship to sin. When you take a look at the world by and large, they're lost because of their relationship to sin. Genesis 8 in verse number 21. And we see, it says here, and this is after Noah got off the ark and he's built an altar unto the Lord. He's offered sacrifice to the Lord. It says verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. In other words, he wasn't going to increase the amount of curse that was there. He says, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And we know that to be the case, don't we? Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. So, the relationship to sin, the imagination of man's heart is evil. Look at Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. And we see what our Lord Jesus Christ said about the matter. What defiles man. And when we look at people, we understand from what comes out of them. When Jesus points to what comes out of man is what it shows the defiling that's in man. Look at Mark 7 and verse number 20. Let's back up to verse number 18 here. He saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without, he's talking about on the outside, entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly. I'm talking about defiling the real you. Okay, not talking about defiling the body, but talking about defiling the real you. He says, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out in the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, what's on the inside? Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. We were born defiled, amen. And what comes out of our hearts actually shows that very thing. And what did Paul call those things in Galatians 5? Look at Galatians 5 and verse number 19. Galatians 5. He called them the works of the flesh. He named some of the same things the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about there. And Galatians 5, verse number 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, you can see them. Works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? They're manifested in a person's life. It's what comes through a person's life. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I mean, there's other things that manifest. The wickedness that's in man and the wickedness of this world. He says, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things, if that's your practice, to practice those things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. So when we get saved, the fruit of the Spirit can be manifest through our life and should be manifest in our life as we're filled with the Spirit. What things come when that happens? Well, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It's not our love, joy, peace. It's the Spirit of God producing those things within our life, including meekness, temperance. And we need to realize that. Don't get boastful and think, I'm better than that person. No, you only by the grace of God are we saved, and only by the grace of God are we able to have that fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We see also that a sinner may not be as bad as he can be, but he is nevertheless as bad off as he can be. Man is dead spiritually, and he's dying physically. If you look at the phrase back in Genesis 2:17, when the Lord warned mankind about eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he told Adam, "The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." The wording there gives a sense of you will die that day, and you will continually die until your death. Dying, thou shalt die, is literally what it means there in Genesis 2:17. So man is dead. When we were born dead. Think about that. Some of us have had in our family maybe stillbirth. One of our grandchildren was a stillborn. Died from the womb, we know that I forgot what point I was going to make on that. Okay, you ever have one of those senior moments? I just had one right then and right there, but stillborn was dead physically and dead spiritually. If it had been born alive, it was born dead, so it was dead physically. But we are still born, spiritually speaking, all of us. That's the point I wanted to make. Just like that grandchild was born with no life, no physical life, when we were born, we had no spiritual life. Born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. So, glad I got the thought back anyway. John 3:36, we see that men are lost because of their relationship to God. So that's the real problem. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So the problem is we're at enmity with God. Scripture proves it over and over again. When we came in, none of us were God-like. We just weren't. We weren't really seeking God in the way that God would have us to. And quite frankly, there was nothing we could do to please the Lord with our lives. Thank God He gave us that spiritual life. And Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That last phrase there, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the way we were without Christ. But thank God that the light is shining in our life. Amen. Ephesians 4 in verse number 17 and 18 says this. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." He's talking about the lost Gentile world. And many of these Ephesians, they were part of this church at Ephesus. They had been saved. They had become a part of the church, become a part of the body of Christ. They had gotten that physical life, spiritual life from the Lord. And he's saying, don't go back and walk the way that you once walked. Don't walk like other Gentiles walk. And he talked about it being, he said, you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. That when we come to Christ, we, of course, we know what the Lord did for us when we came to know Him. Amen. In 1 John 5:12 says, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's just really that simple. You know, do you have the Lord? If you got the Lord, you got life. If you don't have the Lord, then you don't have life. And the little book of Jude talks about the sinners and says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Having not the Spirit. And that's the way that we were before we came to know the Lord. Well, let's take a look here. We'll finish up the your handout there. We see the nature of man's sin. Sin is missing the mark that God has set as the standard. You know, the standard is not me. It's not the preacher. Well, you know, there's plenty of folks could point and say, well, I'm a better person than that preacher. You know, well, probably. But how do you measure up to Christ? You know? It's not I'm better than the other person in the pew. It's not that I'm better than most of the folks in the world. That's not it. Who do you measure up to? Do you measure up to Christ? If not, you've missed the mark. And that's what Romans 3:23 is talking about. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we come short, we've missed the mark. Missed the mark. Sin is open defiance against God's law. That's another thing that it is. And in 1 John 3, in verse number 4, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. We don't have to look very far to understand it. We are all lawbreakers. Amen. Some of us may be greater lawbreakers than others, but we're all lawbreakers. You know, if you break two commandments or you break all 10, you're still a sinner. One or ten, it doesn't matter. Sin is open defiance against God's law. And then, this is not on your, it'll be on the next handout that I give you next week, but sin is rebellion against God Himself. It's a refusal to let Him be master. And Luke 19 and verse 14, and we'll close with this. Luke 19 and verse 14. And Jesus illustrates this here with a parable. And this parable is really speaking of the Lord and His leaving the earth and coming back. Look at Luke 19. Let's begin with verse number 11. As they heard these things, look at verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 11. And as they heard these things, He added and spake a parable, because He was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. I see the Jews were looking for Jesus to go ahead and and assume the kingdom. They were hoping to be delivered from the Roman rule in their day. In verse 12, here he tells this parable. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." Who's he talking about? He's talking about himself. He's going back to heaven, and he's going to come back, and he's going to receive a kingdom. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, "Occupy till I come." And that's what we're to be doing till the Lord comes back. We're to occupy. And I don't mean just take up space. Verse 14, and this is what I want you to see. "But his citizens hated him, sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" See, that's the bottom line that's the problem with the world. We will not have this man to reign over us. I don't want Jesus telling me what to do. Don't want God telling me what to do. I don't want they'll express it this way, that they don't want that preacher up there in the pulpit telling them what to do. Well, this preacher up in the pulpit sharing with you the Word of God. So basically, the problem is further up the chain than me. Okay? When you say don't want to do what that preacher says, if preaching the Word of God, it's not a matter that your beef is not really with me. Your beef is with the Lord. We will not have this man to reign over us. And you can read the rest of that parable. But I wanted to get up to that point in that. All right, we'll pick up there, and we'll look next week at the consequences of man's sin, and move on in our study. Let's pray. Father, thank you.